Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today I choose to hear your voice and live. Today I choose to follow you.
This program is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries, Post Office Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. I'm your host today, Brian Wilkie of St. Andrew's Christian Church in Rockland. As always, I want to thank you, our listeners, for your encouragement and support. Your feedback on the website is something that really stirs our hearts, and seeing the number of downloads that are coming from across the globe helps us to recognize that God is using this ministry throughout the world. Please remember that you can always visit the website for materials to encourage and support you in your Christian walk. And if you miss an episode of the show, you too can download it as a podcast or an MP3, and the details can be found on our website, gncm.ca. Today's program, I want to give thanks to another Christian community that has sponsored a show and this show, and that community is Lift Jesus Higher, the Catholic Charismatic Community based in Vanier. I've been so delighted by their participation in the wider Christian work within the city of Ottawa, and we as a ministry are pleased that they are recognizing the work that we're doing on the radio here. Today I want to speak to you about idolatry in our hearts. And I'm going to read to you a scripture that addresses this from the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 14, verses 1 to 11. And here's something that happened in the life of the prophet. "Some of the elders of Israel came to me and sat down in front of me. Then the word of the Lord came to me, 'Son of man, these men have set up idols in their hearts and put wicked stumbling blocks before their faces. Should I let them inquire of me at all? Therefore speak to them and tell them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. When any Israelite sets up idols in his heart and puts a wicked stumbling block before his face and then goes to a prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him myself in keeping with his great idolatry. I will do this to recapture the hearts of the people of Israel, who have all deserted me for their idols. Therefore say to the house of Israel, this is what the sovereign Lord says, repent, turn from your idols and renounce all your detestable practices. When any Israelite or any alien living in Israel separates himself from me and sets up idols in his heart and puts a wicked stumbling block before his face and then goes to a prophet to inquire of me, I, the Lord, will answer him. I will set my face against that man and make an example of him and a byword. I will cut him off from my people. Then you will know that the Lord is the Lord. And if a prophet is enticed to utter a prophecy, I, the Lord, have enticed that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand against him to destroy him from among my people Israel. They will bear their guilt. The prophet will be as guilty as the one who consults him. Then the people of Israel will no longer stray from me, nor will they defile themselves any more with all their sins. They will be my people, and I will be their God, declares the sovereign Lord." Wow, that's a strong message from Scripture. It's about idolatry. And normally we think of idols as things that people used to worship that were made of wood or stone or precious metal, and they were carved into various shapes to represent the characteristics of what they thought God was like. They would carve idols of beasts of great strength to show that the Lord was powerful or that a god was powerful. They would carve things that they thought were likenesses of whatever god it was they were worshiping. They would carve images with fertility themes. They would carve images with themes of wisdom or with themes of vengeance or war. And these idols that they would set in their homes and in their temples were objects of worship, objects of attention to God, to their gods. And that's what we think of when we think of idolatry. Now, here's the odd thing about this. The Lord says that the people of Israel had set up idols in their hearts. In their hearts, not on their hearths, not in their temples, not in the high places. We're used to that kind of talk about idolatry, because idolatry is a huge theme of the Bible. We see idolatry happening among the people of Israel, and even before there is an Israel. We see idolatry happening in various forms in the church of the New Testament, and we see a strong concern throughout the Scriptures that the people let go of idolatry. But here, Ezekiel is told by God of an idol that is set up in the heart. Now, we know that we're talking metaphorically, or at least we're talking about idols that aren't carved out of gold or stone or wood. Not idols that are physically present, but idols which are nevertheless distracting people from devotion to God, idols that are keeping people from the Word of God. Could it be possible that the message for Ezekiel still stands today as a warning and a reminder, even to the people of God today, about idolatry in their hearts? We'll certainly look at what that means in a few moments, but first I would like you to hear a song by Michael Card, which speaks very specifically to the way that people will make sacrifices to the things that are most important to them. And he describes this in the song, The Spirit of the Age. And this is from his album, The Life, Part 1. I find that song that we've just heard a very, very moving one. The idea of what we worship really talks about the things we give up, the things we sacrifice in order to achieve the goals that we have and to appease the demands that our God places on us. Now, the God of Jesus Christ requires that we believe in his Son. But the gods of the ancient world required much harsher service. They sometimes required the sacrifice of children in order to cause the crops to grow. Even in old Britain, they used to appease the river gods by sacrificing a child at the foundations of a bridge. The sacrifices that idolaters made were something that God absolutely abhorred. He even goes to great length with the patriarch Abraham to show him that he would not require Abraham to give his own son by making a command to go to the mountain and leaving Abraham thinking that he was going to end up sacrificing his son. God forever destroys the notion that he, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac, the God, the Father of Jesus Christ, he completely destroys the idea that he would require us to sacrifice other humans in order to please him. So why is it that God despises idolatry? Why is God a jealous God, a God who demands that we worship him and him alone? It's precisely because worshiping anything else destroys us. Worshiping anything else makes us into the kind of people that we should not be, the people who will sacrifice anything to achieve our goals, the people who will sacrifice others, who will sacrifice justice, who will sacrifice purity, who will sacrifice love in order to achieve our goals. We've all run into those people in life, haven't we? The people who will just walk over anybody in order to get to where they're going. That is the kind of thing that God never wants for his people. That's why he says you must worship him alone. We must worship only God, because he alone calls us to love with all our hearts, to trust with all our hearts, to be even willing to lay down our own lives in order to bless others, instead of taking others people's lives, taking others people's joy in order to please our own hearts. Idolatry causes destruction. I've got to let you know, and I really want to let you know, that I'm influenced in today's talk by a really powerful book by Kyle Eidelman called Gods at War. You might want to take down that name, take down that title, Kyle Eidelman, Gods at War, because I think this is a very helpful workbook in examining the idols in our own life. And so I want to share with you some of the things that come out of that book and come out of Scripture as we talk today about idolatry. How can you identify if you have set up an idol in your heart? In Ezekiel, it's made clear that people who have set up idols in their heart have given up the right to seek direction from God, to seek a prophecy from God. In that day, people were coming and saying to the prophet, "Tell us what we need to do." And what they wanted to know was how they could be more profitable in what they were achieving in their own lives. What they wanted was some guidance about how to win a battle, how to win at the markets. They wanted guidance from God, but their real heart was set on something else. They had idols in their heart. They weren't pursuing God's purposes. Instead, they were pursuing their own purposes and treating God as an advisor rather than as a Lord. And so the God of Israel said to Ezekiel, when they come to you and ask you for guidance about this, that, and the other thing, just tell them, repent. Tell them to turn away from their idols, to start worshiping the Lord, and then maybe they'll hear something from him. If instead a prophet were to give them the message they wanted, to say some soothing words and some worldly guidance to try and sound like they had a word from God, then that prophet too was condemned just as much as the people who were setting up idols in their hearts. The prophets were disobeying God if they gave guidance when they were overlooking the idols that were set up in people's hearts. What are the idols that they had set up in their hearts? We can imagine the idols because we probably have experience with them. The idols are the things that we desire that go beyond God's will. They're the things that we want so much that we would do anything to achieve them. They're the things we think we need. What are those kinds of things? Sometimes people are driven by success. Now, that comes from many reasons. Greed, which Paul identifies as idolatry in his letter to the church. Greed is idolatry. They so much want success that they're willing to set aside godliness, willing to set aside the commands of God, willing to devote their lives to this cause, to success, and ignore God in their lives. Let's face it, sometimes we've been guilty of that. Sometimes the idol is something that we do not trust God to provide through godly means. You know, idols sometimes are made up of precious things. There's nothing evil about wood or stone or the precious metals that people used to carve idols out of. Those things are good, but to carve idols out of them, to make idols out of them, makes them into something that is evil, something wicked. And sometimes we don't trust God in areas where he wants to provide a good in our lives, and so we start to seek it through ungodly means. Family. How many times the scripture speaks about God blessing people in their families. And yet, sometimes when people are looking for the right person, they don't trust God to provide a good, godly partner, and they're willing to go with whatever they find. They settle for less. To have a good, godly partner can be God's will for you. But to choose a partner that is unsuitable just because you want to fill a loneliness in your heart usually doesn't end well. God wants to spare you that. That's why he sometimes calls people to wait. There's other places where we can have idols, and I think one of the things we can test in our hearts is what makes you anxious? What makes you fearful? What are the things that you're afraid you won't get, that you don't really trust God to provide? Are there things that God wants to provide, but you just aren't sure he's going to come through? Or are they things that have really nothing to do with your purpose, nothing to do with the happiness he wants to give, but instead are things that you shouldn't be pursuing in the first place? Maybe you're anxious because you know that that's really not God's purpose and plan for you. What are the things you do by ungodly means? What are the things you cheat on, things you twist, things you lie about in order to achieve them? You've put achieving those goals above honoring God and above obedience to God. Your faith in God is lacking, and you need to turn from that. Imagine an ancient farmer who worships Yahweh, the God of Israel, but he doesn't fully trust him. So in addition to praying to God, he appeals to gods of rain and fertility. He thinks that his harvest is more important than faithfulness. You'd agree that that's idolatry, wouldn't you? Now imagine the modern farmer. He worships God, but doesn't trust God fully, so he cheats his employees, falsifies his taxes, and in his anxiety he mistreats or neglects his family. He too thinks success is more important than godliness, and success has become his idol. Now, As we look at this thing, God says something to the people of Israel at one point where he says, I have two things that I accuse you of. He says, you have abandoned the spring of living water, by which he means they'd abandoned God. And then he tells them, and what's more, you have turned to cisterns of your own, which are cisterns are storage places for water, because these aren't ordinary cisterns that you've turned to. These are broken cisterns that won't hold any water. How foolish the people of Israel were that they turned from the spring of living water and built cisterns that were broken and didn't even hold any water. Well, here's a song which speaks about the Christian hope in terms of a fountain that is given to us from which we can find love, life, cleanliness, and peace. There is a fountain, sung by This Hope from their album A Cappella Hymns.
There is, Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature,
it's a hard message, the message of idolatry, but there is actually a very simple solution. Ezekiel puts it in very few words. He says, "Repent, turn from your idols, and renounce all your detestable practices." And that's what we're called to in Jesus Christ, to repent, to decide that we're going to follow God and accept and settle for His plans, trusting that His plans are better than our plans, that we're going to do things His way. And so you can examine your checkbook and your calendar and your temperament for signs of idolatry. What are you spending your money and your time on? How are you distracted from the purposes that God has for you? Confess to God your unhappiness. Confess your ingratitude. Confess that you've been seeking happiness above godliness and ask Him to cleanse and renew your spirit. And remember that God is faithful. Remember that God is faithful. You can trust that Him, He alone and only He, can give you life. Let's come before God in prayer and put this before Him today. Lord, we have very possibly got idols in our hearts. Some of us, having heard Your word, are aware of them right now, and we want to turn away from them. We want to have clean hearts again, and we want to live for You. Some of us are asking You to search our hearts and see if there's a wicked way in us, because we do want to be clean, even if we're currently unaware of any unfaithfulness in our lives. Search us and find if there's anything that needs to change, and help us to change, to live solely and fully for You. Let us return to You and be healed and cleansed and embraced by Your great love. In Jesus' name, amen. So once again, I want to thank you, our listeners, for your encouragement and support. We do thank you that you keep us on the air week by week through your financial support. If you wish to make a donation, you can do so on our website, GNCM, goodnewschristianministries.ca. And you can also write a check and send it to Good News Christian Ministries at Post Office Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. Canadian residents will get a tax receipt for any donations that they've made. And I do want to encourage you to tell others about the program. Be sure to worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. And now to conclude our program, I'd like to have you listen to a song called My Redeemer is Faithful, by Stephen Curtis Chapman from his album Firsthand. And this is a reminder that you can trust God and forsake all other idols and let Him lead you in His ways. I do pray that the Lord will hold you, hold your heart, and that you would know Jesus personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart, and may the Heavenly Father surround you with His constant, abiding, and accompanying love.
As I look back on this road,
I've traveled. I see so many times he carried me through. If there's one thing that I've learned in my life, my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he has said, he will do. And every morning his mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. My heart rejoices when I read the promise. There is a place that I'm preparing for. Oh, someday I'll see my Lord face to face. 'Cause my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he has said, he will do. And every morning mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. And in every situation he has proved his love for me. When I lack the understanding, he gives more grace to me. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he has said, he will do. And every morning his mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful. My Redeemer is faithful and true.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFO.